So good to be here in the house of God. We want to welcome all those who are watching online as well. And thank you for tuning in to us at One Heart Church. Thanks for taking the time to hear the Word of God with us this morning. What a great time of worship this morning. Thanks, guys. You can go. We'll see you back in about 10 minutes. Thank you. So this morning, I'm going to continue the series on Bury That Burden. So we're at part four already. So today's subject is unforgiveness. Now, I will say you can listen to all the other segments of this series on our podcast. You can go back and listen to Bury Your Burden, part one, two, and three. But also, I think if you go back, if you're looking at our podcast, if you go back to about 2022, I think, I did a message on unforgiveness as well that I think would tie together well if you want to pursue the subject a little bit more and get some more insight about that subject. I encourage you to do that. Also, it's great to see Leah with us this morning. She's here for a baby dedication, so we're not doing that till the next service, so you have to hang around to do two. You get extra points for that, but that's good. But can we just pray before we move on this morning? And ask the Holy Spirit to really speak to us today and reveal things in us that we can let go of today. So, dear Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will speak into our hearts today. Be the oil, Holy Spirit, that just ministers to hearts today. Change us, grow us, make us better people, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, one of the greatest burdens to carry is that of unforgiveness. And it comes in all kinds of ways. It gets into our lives. We can be offended. We can be offended by being ignored, being unfairly treated, being abused, being robbed by unmet expectations, even betrayal. That's probably one of the greater ones. They're all reasons we harbor unforgiveness. So left undealt with, unforgiveness leads to vengefulness. That's the desire to get revenge. And when you do get revenge, it makes you the loser. You might think you won, but actually you're the biggest loser. So that's something we need to realize today. That's not what God wants us to do. But unforgiveness galvanizes us in an attitude direction it leads to hardness of heart. And we can call it a grudge, an axe to grind, a grievance or ill will. These are all things that we would use to describe unforgiveness. But what it is, it brings with it a burden of sin. And so I guess my nationality, my family background is Sicilian, who made an artwork of unforgiveness. It's like they're the experts. It's like they've got unforgiveness over the most craziest things. It goes back generations. And it's like we can't go to that side of town because we've got unforgiveness about these people over there. We can't visit that family over there because we've got unforgiveness of them because of things that happened three generations ago. That's really quite amazing. But we don't want to be a people or a church that carries a burden of unforgiveness that we need to bury, and perhaps we can bury some of those things today. But life isn't a movie where you get to hunt down the person who hurt you or your family. Who loves those movies? I watched one the other night. It was amazing. I'm amazed at how many movies, when you think of it, are based around this theme of unforgiveness, where it's like they're going to hunt down the person who, you know, hurt my family or took something from me. But I don't know, who's familiar with the movie The Princess Bride? We need to show that here. It's like, if you haven't seen that movie, I don't think you've even lived yet. You're not alive. But in that movie, The Princess Bride, there's a character in there called, and I'll try and say it now, we have a South American here, so this is really very embarrassing for me. His name is Inigo Montoya. And he says in this, who's seen the movie? Please put your hands up. We have some people here who are real people. He says, "Hello, hello. My name is Emilio Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." and because he finds this villain who killed his father, and he took his father was a sword. I'll tell you the story. His father was a famous sword maker, and this six-fingered man came and killed his father to steal the most valuable sword that he'd ever made. And so he finally finds him. He finds a six-fingered man. He says, "Hello, my name is Emilio Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." And then he keeps saying that, and they have a sword fight, and the six-fingered man says, "Stop saying that." And he says again, "My name is Emilio Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." But the six-fingered man says to him, "You have an overdeveloped sense of vengeance." And he says, "That will get you into a lot of trouble one day." And I think that's true of us today. We've got to bury the burden of unforgiveness and give it a funeral once and for all. And perhaps we can do that today. That's hopefully someone's alarm going off to say, "Wake up. It's only 8:30. But Jesus describes unforgiveness as a debt. And so today we're going to look at some specific things that Jesus teaches us about forgiveness. So it says in Matthew 18, verse 21, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?' And he even gives an amount. 7 times? Now that's a good question, Peter. I'm glad you asked." And Jesus tells him the story to illustrate an example. Matthew 18, verse 23 and 25 in the NIV says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold." Everyone think of that. And I won't say everyone say this because some people get really annoyed apparently. Say to yourself, 10,000 bags. Say to yourself, close your eyes, 10,000 bags of gold. And so he had 10,000 bags of gold that he owed him. I've lost my thing. A man owes him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So the man begged the king for mercy, and the master canceled the debt. He said, "Don't worry about it. It's okay. I forgive you. You're free." In verse 28 says, "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins." Say that to yourself, 100. There's 10,000 gold ones. He only owes him 100 silver ones. "And he grabbed him and he began to choke him." And he said, "Pay back what you owe." And he demanded it. Actually, the six-fingered man. That's why he was getting hunted down, because he demanded the sword, the most expensive sword that had ever been made. He said, the six-fingered man demanded it, apparently. You got to watch the movie. Go home and get it. But it says in verse 29, "His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I'll pay it back.' But he refused. So when the master heard what he had done, he called him back in." He called the first servant back in. He said, "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And it says in verse 35, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." This is a very challenging, very confronting kind of scripture to be bringing to you this morning. But in answer to Peter's question, Jesus describes unforgiveness as a debt burden, of something that is like a burden on your life that is heavy to carry. But God forgives us completely, and we are to forgive others completely. So forgiveness is an attribute that defines a Christian from everybody else. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is an attribute that defines the Christian from everybody else. It should be something that is in our hearts, in our lives, the ability to forgive others. So we've got to bury the burden of unforgiveness. It's ugly and has no place in our lives. It's ugly and has no place in your life. So next point I want us to see is Jesus expects his disciples to be forgivers. This is what Jesus says about it, and it doesn't need any interpretation. So I'm just going to read the scriptures out to you without any extra commentary. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is pretty confronting message here today. Mark 11, verse 25. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Luke 17, verse 4. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. Ephesians 4, verse 2. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. When it says uses that word allowance, we can translate that to forgive. Forgive those who have sinned against you. Verses 31 and 32 of Ephesians 4. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. That's, vengeance and jealousy and revenge and all those kind of things. Verse 32 says, instead, be kind to each other and tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So with Christ's help, I think we need Christ's help to bury the burden of unforgiveness. I don't know if it is a natural thing that we find easy to do. I don't think it's something in some cases that we can do all on our own. But I know I need the Holy Spirit to flow into me and to speak to me and to comfort me sometimes when it's so easy to latch onto a burden of unforgiveness and think, I just want to carry this for a little bit longer. So the fullness of life in Christ is found when forgiveness is found in us. See, forgiveness is an attribute of God that the world must see, and God wants the world to see it through you. So it can make a huge difference. Now, I know there's quite an important point I need to make. This is not in my notes. But sometimes we think, but if I forgive that person, then I need to allow them back into my life so that they can abuse me. And I need to normalize a relationship with them. Sometimes we need to have a sensitivity to our own heart and realize that sometimes we can have forgiveness, but that doesn't mean that we allow a toxic abuser back into our life. So we need to have a protection zone there. But as far as we're concerned, we live in freedom. We live free of the burden of the unforgiveness that we could easily carry around with a grudge. And sometimes it's like a badge of honor. Well, you should see how much unforgiveness I have for that person. And everyone we talk to would know. But forgiveness is an attribute of God that the world must see. And he wants the world to see it through you. So when we bury the burden of unforgiveness, others see Jesus in us. Others see Jesus in you. So the ultimate thing is Jesus demonstrated forgiveness on the cross. See, some people hurt us on purpose. And sometimes we hurt people on purpose. Have you ever been married? It's pretty hard not to. Sorry, Pauline. Sorry. I know your marriage is not like this. Some people hurt us on purpose and sometimes we hurt others. And sometimes the other person doesn't know that they hurt us and they didn't intend to hurt us, but sometimes things happen. But I want to give you some practical advice from Jesus that will bury the burden of unforgiveness. Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. So there's a great, I guess, thing there about straight lines with people. Keep straight lines with people. It says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. And if they listen, confess it. Now, I'll give you some homework to do, but if you read verse 16 and 17, it tells you what to do in a toxic situation without becoming toxic yourself. So it tells us what to do next. So if you go to that person and they don't listen, or they don't want to accept that there's been an issue going on, then it tells you what steps to take next. So I want you to go home and look at Matthew chapter 18 and read those things and think, well, God, how can I apply this in my circumstances and my situations? The second thing that we see that demonstrates some things that we can do, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, while he's on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Now, as Jesus was hanging from the cross, he's condemned like a criminal. He's mocked, he's humiliated, he's spat on and slapped. His beard's pulled out, he's whipped and he's abused and he's beaten. He's lied about. And Jesus buries the burden of unforgiveness. With no revenge in mind, Jesus makes the call, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'll have the musicians come and join me again, please. Proverbs 20, verse 22. It says, don't say, I'll get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. See, we know Jesus can handle every matter better than we can. Jesus can handle every matter that we come across better than we ever can. So we've got to let him. We have to give things to Jesus. We need to repent if we need to. And if we've gone for the revenge option, we need to ask Jesus instead. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to wait for my time. You ever heard the saying, I'll bide my time, when someone's been crossed? I'm just biding my time. I'm just waiting. They're saying, I'm waiting for an opportunity to get revenge. That's not the direction that Jesus wants us to take. It says in Romans 12, verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Now, when you realize that someone doesn't deserve God's blessing, it's really hard to think, I'm going to pray a blessing on them. Because you think, hey, they don't deserve God's blessing. But remember, you don't deserve God's blessing either. Because just as we've been offended and crossed and offended by people, we've all offended God. And when Jesus hung upon the cross and said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, he's talking about us. He's talking about you. Let's make it personal. He's talking about you today, because whether we've meant to or not, we've all offended God in our own way. And we continue to do so, but we need God's help. We need Jesus. So when you realize someone doesn't deserve God's blessing, remember that you don't either. Romans 12, verse 20 says, instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Can we all stand together this morning? We're going to spend some time looking into our own hearts, seeking God to say, Lord, are there areas that I need to bury today? Are there things that I've been hanging on to? One of the other things that we have is we have generational unforgiveness burdens. Sometimes we have things that people close to us have been offended, and we secondhand carry the offense for them. And so we hear stories about other people and we think, well, I thought that person was okay, but now I don't. That's a secondhand offense. That's carrying a burden of unforgiveness from somebody else. And so we need to sometimes relinquish some of those things. And we relinquish those things to Christ by saying, Jesus, help me to let go of this. Help me to give this to you. So we're going to pray, and as we're standing together, and I want us to personalize a prayer today. that will bury the burden of unforgiveness. And we know that we've passed that when we say, I don't have the feeling of vengeance anymore. I don't have the feelings of I need to get revenge. I need to get my peace by harming the other person. So we're going to take a moment between you and Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit begin to delve right down into your heart. And there'll be something somewhere where you say, hang on, I'm still carrying that. Could be to a teacher, something they said to you at school. Could be to a parent or a child to a parent where the offenses come. And if that's it, changing the will or whatever. The Holy Spirit just wants us to say, hang on a minute. Will you give that to me today? Will you trust me with that? Just take just a couple of moments right now. Let's do business with Jesus. Say, Lord, show me those things. Show me those people. I'm going to give that burden a funeral today. And just go over in your mind the names. Say, Jesus, I forgive them. It's as simple as that. Jesus, I forgive my daughter. I forgive that uncle. I forgive my brother. I forgive my employer. I forgive my neighbor. I forgive my pastor. I forgive my Sunday school teacher. Wherever that offense came into your life, that may have been small, it may have been big, but however big or small it is, Jesus wants you to be free of it today. Let me pray for you. Why don't we just raise our hands today saying, Lord, include me today. Don't let anything be left in me that needs to be buried today. So Father, we pray that you today can bury the burden of unforgiveness in our life. We don't want to carry it. We don't want to rehearse it or take it with us any further past today. Lord, we let it go. Lord, we forgive. And we bury that burden of unforgiveness today, and we want it to stay buried. We want to leave it here today at church, and we want to bury it, and we want to say it's had its funeral, and we walk away rejoicing today. Jesus, forgive us. Lord, forgive me. Help me to be a man of God, Lord, that forgives and displays your forgiveness to the world. Jesus, we bless those who have hurt us. Complete your work in their lives, we pray. And complete your work in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can take your seats. I just have one more thought for you. I just want you to say, carry that. If there were some people in your life that were brought to your attention, those thoughts may come back of, oh, they hurt me. You just got to keep bringing that back to God. You got to keep bringing that back to Jesus, saying, Jesus, help me. Help me to forgive. Be honest with God and he'll be gracious to you. When you say, oh, it's not really there, I'm good, then you don't get the opportunity to change it. But I just want to take one more thought, and that is there are those who would call themselves atheists in this world. So they don't believe in God. And maybe that's you here today, I'm not sure. But basically the root stem of that is unforgiveness to God, who they say doesn't exist. So there's an unforgiveness in their heart because they say, well, there is so much unfairness in the world. Why is there this? Why is there that? Why does God allow all these bad things to happen? And at the root of that atheist theology, because it's like a religion, is, well, if God is there, but they say he's not there, but they spend their life trying to prove that he's not. If he is there, then I hate him. So I have unforgiveness towards God. And you're going to meet people like that, And you're going to come to terms with people like that all the time. You'll find them at school. You'll find them where you work. You'll find them when you're traveling. You'll find them everywhere. And it's an underlying hatred to God simply because there's a root of unforgiveness because of an unfairness somewhere in their life. And I want us to be wise people of God who know how to show God's grace and love to that person. Because what they're looking for is the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. And if they can't see it in us, they'll never see it anywhere. Because God wants to display His life and His goodness through the church to the world. So, a little bit of, I guess, mission for you is when you find the atheist who declares, well, this is my stand, I'm an atheist. You know what? There's unforgiveness in their heart towards God. And we need to be the one who pours the oil of God's love and the bridge of peace and the grace and forgiveness that comes from Jesus into their world. What a mission that we have. I think I'm done. Let's seal what God's done today with a little bit more worship. We've got some time. Stand to our feet. Let's worship the Lord, just saying, Jesus, complete the work in my heart this morning.